Surprise, surprise. It's a privilege to be able to do that. Pastor Darth and Jenny are taking two Sundays off and a week off to have some time together, well-deserved. And here's another news flash. Nancy and I are doing the same thing starting Thursday. So we're going on a week and a half vacation. And next week, Pastor Jerry Beebe, Pastor Maris, is going to share with us. So thank you for being willing to do that and allow us to be taking some vacation time before we jump into life groups and everything else. And by the way, this is at the info desk, and it's also on the web on life groups, and also the registrations are open at this point. So thank you, Trina and Rebecca, for getting all that done. So this morning, we're going to be talking about making a kingdom difference. And we've already had some great examples this morning. Just moments ago, making a kingdom difference. Moments before that, VBS offering, VBS kids, VBS organization across this organization, lots and lots of people volunteering, and everybody on Sunday morning that helps all this happen. But it's not just on Sunday, it's everyday life. And we just finished a series on Joshua, and Pastor Darth walked us through how the Old Testament is actually applicable today. Some people, well, I don't read the Old Testament. It's like, what does it all mean? Well, Pastor Darth did a great job of explaining how the life of Joshua and the Israelite experiences are for us. They're like warnings. They're like object lessons. They're examples, both good and bad, and help us to be what it really means to live wholeheartedly for God. In your bulletin today, don't freak out. You see 8 points. When I was a lead pastor in the Dalles, Oregon, I would sometimes start my sermon with something like this. I'd say, you know, I'm a man of few words. See, people already know. And they would laugh because that's really not who I am. But what we're going to do this morning is we're going to walk through 3 chapters of Judges, overview those, and just highlight these principles, which will be on the screen, as we walk through chapters 2 and chapters 6 and 7 briefly this morning, and see how we can be making a kingdom difference. Pastor Darth last week ended the Joshua series with chapter 24, choose this day who you're going to serve. Joshua put it plain to the people, you cannot serve God and idols. An idol is anything that we put above God. We think of idols in the Old Testament as these statues of things, but idol is anything that we put more important than God, and it supplants him from being supreme in our lives. And he says, you cannot serve God and idols and anything that's more important than him. And here's the key statement they ended up with from Joshua chapter 24, 22 to 24. Scripture on the screen here. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. He's talking to the whole congregation of Israel. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. Great words. They said yes. They made a commitment. And they did serve God for a while. But they didn't throw away the idols. And unfortunately, Joshua's fears of the people turning back to idols is confirmed at the beginning of the next book in the Bible, which is called Judges. We're going to do this a little bit old school this morning. If you have your Bible or your device, the scriptures will not be on the screen. We're going to make you work this morning. So turn to Judges. That's right after Joshua. Judges. And if you're not in the habit of bringing your Bible to church, there's something tangible and cool about just holding all of this and saying, this is God's word to us. I love that tangible feeling. This is God's word to us. So starting in Judges chapter 2, I'll be reading some of the sections from Judges, and others I'll just summarize for some time's sake. But let's begin today with a prayer of what God wants to do. Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, Father God, we're in this place because we came to worship, we came to hear from you. And I pray, Lord, as I speak, as we go through these principles, Lord, your Holy Spirit will speak. Come, Holy Spirit, Enlighten our hearts. Enlighten our minds. Help us to know, God, how we can be better kingdom difference makers. Thank you, God, for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start with a sad summary of Judges, from Judges chapter 2, verses 7 to 19. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the principles of things, typically first. On the screen, you can see here is the repetitive, sad cycle of Judges. The people said, we're going to serve the Lord. Yes. And then we find out what happens. They start worshiping idols. They sin. They forsake God, and they worship these false gods like Baal and Asheroth, which were commingled for all around them in the pagan world around them and became infiltrated into them. Then there's a second stage of oppression where God let them be servants to their enemies. It says God's angry because they have forsaken him. He allows the enemy nations to conquer them and to punish Israel for their sin. And the third step is a supplication. The people say, God, save us. When it got so bad, finally they said, I need help. We need help. So Israel suffers and feels sorry and begs God for help. And then deliverance. God raises up a deliverer to save them. In the book of Judges, a judge in this case, we think of a judge as a person who sits at a bench and does legal things. Well, they were a guide, but they really were a deliverer, a rescuer to defeat the enemy and to help the people get back spiritually to where God wanted them to be. And during the time of the judges, then they had peace. They had rest from their enemies, and as long as the judge was alive. Here's the sad part. When the judge died, they reverted back to serving the idols again. And this vicious cycle of sin, again, repeats and repeats and repeats. And each time there was a new judge, there's sort of a weaker judge and a weaker judge. And there's a very sad ending to the book of Judges. This statement, every person did right what was in their own eyes. And we can look around our culture today, and that statement could be applied to us, could our culture today. Hey, it's right for me. But God says, no, here is what is right. So follow along with me if you wish, and I will read Judges chapter 2, 7 to 19, starting at verse number 7. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, that's N-U-N, not N-O-N-E, okay? Son of Nun, that was a guy, not Nun. The servant of the Lord died at the age of 110. And I look around the congregation and, hey, Virgil, we said hi this morning. 99, you got 11 more years to go to catch up with Joshua. Good job. Well, they buried Joshua in the land of his inheritance at Timnah Heres in the country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. Verse 10. After that, the whole generation that had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Key verse, verse 11. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the people around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashereths. In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them. Just as he had sworn to them, they were in great distress. That's a sad paragraph of the situation in Israel. Then the Lord, verse 16, then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. But when the judge died, the people returned to the ways even more corrupt than those of their ancestors, following other gods and serving and worshiping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. What a sad commentary. Just as Joshua had warned them about and was fearful about. But here's the positive principle. And I want you, as we go through each of these principles, I want you to read them out loud with me. Slide change, please. Let's read this out loud together. Make a kingdom difference by choosing daily to follow Jesus and reject the snares of Satan and sin. Last week's message by Pastor Darth was choose this day. Saying it another way, choose every day to follow Jesus and reject Satan's traps. We just had a water baptism service just a few weeks ago. I don't know if you noticed, every time we have a water baptism, we ask questions. These people are making a fresh start, a start to go follow Jesus. And we ask these three questions, of which the answer I always tell them, the answer is yes. But here's the three questions. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? The answer is yes. This is the starting point of their journey with Jesus. The prayer of, Lord Jesus, I believe in your death. I believe in your resurrection. Forgive me of my sins that I've committed and covered by your death and resurrection. And I want you to come and be Lord and Savior in my life. The second question is, do you intend to follow him all the days of your life? This is the continuing choose every day to serve Jesus. It's not that I made a choice sometime back there somewhere. No, it's an ongoing choice to serve Jesus and put Jesus at the center. And then the third question is, do you renounce or turn your back on the devil and all of its works? The people said yes, but this is where they fell down. They didn't break the cycle of sin in their lives because all the cultural things and pressing in on them, they didn't say, I'm going to reject that. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow Jesus. If Satan can't get you to turn his back on Jesus, he will do this. He will try to put all the distractions of life into your life so that you are no longer effective for the kingdom of God. So we got to be careful. There's the hindrances and then there's the blatant sins. Break the cycles of those things. Pursue that relationship with Jesus. Reject everything that hinders or potentially drags us into sin. So in the context of these three, of these apostate, we call it apostate, was fallen away cycles. In this fourth cycle of this, we come to chapter 6 and 7 and the account of Gideon. So turn in your Bibles or your device to chapter 6. This is about 210 years after Joshua's death. It's not, there's been these separate cycles of sin and falling away and God raising up a deliverer. But let's read, I'm going to read verses 2 to 10 and we're going to talk about the next principle in just a moment. Verses 2 to 10 talks about, I'm going to summarize for you, how God allowed 7 years because verse 1 says, the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. And for 7 years, he gave them the hands of the Midianites. 7 years, Kim, of serving. How would that be? Terrible oppression. Be very hard. There's the hordes of the Midianites. They were nomadic people with camels. And they just came up into the area and they just took everything the Israelites had, their crops, their livestock. It resulted in poverty, lack of food, the people hiding from them in fear when they came through. And it's all because they rejected God and worshiped idols. Even when God sent a prophet to warn them, they did not listen. In this context, God visits Gideon. In each of these sections of this Gideon story, we're going to review the principle first and then see how it plays out. So here's the principle, the next principle. Read it with me out loud. Here we go. Make a kingdom difference by knowing God sees your potential and who he can help you become. Knowing God sees your potential and who he can help you become. So we're going to continue our reading in verse 11 of chapter 6. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Asbarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Now, you don't normally thresh wheat in a wine press. You normally thresh wheat in a threshing floor that's made for that, where the wind blows, because they threw the grain up in the air and the wind would blow and separate the chaff from the grains of wheat. But he's hiding because he's scared that the Midianites are there, and if they know and see him, they'll just come and take everything he's worked for and steal it. So he's hiding, not a good time. Also important, we'll find out later, the angel of the Lord that appears to him, it looked like an ordinary man. He did not recognize him, wasn't glorified. It looked like it just a person came to visit him. Verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Notice the greeting. The Lord is with you. We'll find out in the next few verses. That was not what Gideon was feeling or seeing. Also, mighty warrior or man of valor or a man of courage. I can almost envision this visitor coming to Gideon and this man's making this greeting going, "You talking to me?" Because it was not who he was at the moment. But God saw his potential. God saw something in Gideon that would say, "I can use this man to deliver Israel." It was a call to change his outlook to an uplook, to say, "God, okay, you can do things I cannot do." That's like us in our journey. For Gideon, we're going to see through the story, it was a process of becoming who God wanted him to be. It wasn't this instantaneous change. We like, in our world today, it's everything instant, right? Instant news, instant this. But no, this is a process, and it's a lifelong process of becoming who God wants us to be. Verse 13. "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancients told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" These are some amazing statements that the angel of the Lord, this what looks like a man, is saying to Gideon, calling him out, saying, "Hey, I'm calling you to save Israel." And that was a great surprise to Gideon. Verse 15, "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manassas, and I'm the least in my family." Gideon said, "Me? Why me?" Does this sound familiar about Moses? It's almost the exact same kind of thing, this conversation. "Me? Really, God? How am I able to defeat this innumerable army? You can't even count. What do I have?" Well, verse 16 answers the question. "The Lord answered, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive.'" What do you have? Gideon, you got me. God, I'm going to be with you, and I will help you win the victory. But you notice that at this point in the conversation, God didn't give him a roadmap. "I'm an engineer. I love linear sequential things. I like things to be planned out. This vacation that we're going on starting this next Thursday, I have an Excel spreadsheet." "Yes, I really do. It has every day, where we're going, what we're doing, what time we're going on a cruise and then some other things, and what we're doing every single day. All the reservations are made. Everything's arranged. I don't have anything to do. We just have to show up and follow the schedule." That's sort of Dan, and it's been a long time making these kind of reservations and all these kind of details. But God doesn't work that way. I sort of wish he did, because it'd make it easier, or maybe more fearful. I'm not sure which one. If we know what's coming, sometimes it's hard. We probably go, wait, God, that's not the right plan. But no, he just walks us along it little by little, and this is exactly what happens with Gideon. But sometimes we're actually stuck where we are. You ever heard somebody say, or yourself say, "This is just who I am"? Well, oftentimes when that's a response to something that maybe needs to change, or a character that God wants to work on, but that's just the way I am. Well, let's think about, what does God want us to be? It's a lifelong process. I like this statement. Godly success is daily pursuing Jesus to become who he has created you to be and to do what he has called you to do. That's a lot of words, but maybe I'm going to repeat it slowly. Maybe you want to write down a couple key words here. Godly success is daily pursuing Jesus to become who he has created you to be and to do what he has called you to do. It's the process of the Holy Spirit changing and thinking our actions and our lives to be more like Jesus, so that in our thoughts and our actions, it's filtered through love God and love people. He often calls the humble who know they need help. A lot of times people who are strong-willed try to do it in their own strength, but that doesn't work. We need to rely and be working with Jesus to change us and give us the strength. So going on in verse 17 to 24, we find our next principle. Let's read it together. Making a kingdom difference by learning to recognize God's Holy Spirit's voice and understand what He is saying. Let's try that again. Make a kingdom difference by learning to recognize God's, the Holy Spirit's voice, and understand what He is saying. This is all about the angel's message. He's already said key statements to him. Now he's saying these things. Verse 17. Gideon replied, "If I found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it's really you talking to me." I don't know who he meant by you, but he didn't realize who he was yet. "Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon has some doubts, so he asks for a sign. Is this the voice of God to me? Is this God speaking? This is a potential life and death kind of decision. You're asking me to lead the people into battle against an insurmountable enemy. So he asks for confirmation that God's really speaking. It's okay to do that. Have you ever had the thought, "I believe God is speaking to me about fill in the blank"? It may be something at the moment. It may be a longer-term plan. But here's a point. If God's talking about turning away from something that is hindering or sinful in your Christian walk, you can be sure that's God speaking, because that's His heart. That's what He came to help us do, and by sending the Holy Spirit. It's okay to ask for God for confirmation for significant decisions or directions. But here's some things to consider when you are asking God for direction. First of all, what does God's word say? God's direction will never, ever contradict what He says here. So the next is just prayer, talking to God, listening to God ourselves, asking other people to pray. With God, ask pastors or godly people with good track records of good advice, good decisions, faithful following. Don't ask social media what you should do. I don't know, if you're on social media, you get all kinds of crazy answers. But don't ask social media. Ask people who have a track record of following Jesus. And then consider your life experiences. Consider the time of it. And last of all, considering the circumstances. Now, circumstances can lead you astray, because some people said, "God brought this thing into my life, or this situation or whatever into my life. That must be God." Well, not necessarily, because Satan wants to distract you and hinder you. So carefully evaluate. And that's what is going on right now when Gideon says, "Please wait while I go make an offering." So verse 19. Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from ephah flour he made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and his broth in a pot. He brought them out and offered them under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Now that's a strange thing to do when you're bringing a nice meal that you've really prepared. This is something that, remember, it's famine time basically, and he prepared a feast for his guest. And Gideon did that. Verse 21, then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared up from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. Up to this point, Gideon believes he was talking to a prophet of God, likely like a man, and wanted confirmation of God's message, but he didn't know it was the angel of the Lord. And most commentators and studies of the Bible believe this was what we call a pre-incarnation of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, taking on the form of a man. So when he asked the sign to know who he was talking to, he got it. He was talking directly to God. And we have that same privilege. 24/7, the phone lines are open to heaven. If there's a communication issue, and the phones are blocked, most of the time it's not on God's end. So Gideon realized it was the angel of the Lord, and he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it "The Lord is Peace." And to this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abazarites. So Gideon worships the Lord in the same words that he builds the altar and names the altar, "The Lord is Peace." So we can make a difference by learning God's voice and what He's saying and what He wants to do. And that's cultivated in God's word, God's presence, getting to know God's heart. Jesus said these words, "My sheep know My voice." How did sheep learn the voice? because they heard the shepherd's voice over and over and over again and learned when they followed the shepherd, good things happened. So we have that same privilege this morning, following Jesus, knowing, learning his voice. What is he speaking? What's he saying? He's always speaking. God's saying in general. What is he saying? Well, here's generally what all the guidelines. But what is he saying specifically to you? We need to be in prayer, asking the Holy Spirit, enlighten our hearts, help us to understand what you're speaking and what he's saying, and get confirmation from other sources if we need to. I'm going to go on to the next principle. Would you read this one off the screen with me here? Make a kingdom difference by doing what God says without delay, even if there is risk or fear. Verse 25 on this chapter 6 goes on about stating God's first job for Gideon. And Gideon's immediate response, although he's afraid. Verse 25, let's read it. That same night, the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down and offer the second bull as an offering. Notice that he was in his father's house. It was his father's idol. They were serving God here, but serving Baal here. They were divided hearts. They weren't fully, it was, okay, God's another option. Sometimes people take that approach in their life. God's an option. No, God's not an option. He is the only way. The age of the bull is seven years of Midianite oppression. And the bull was the symbol of the idol Baal. So there's a lot of symbology in what God asked Gideon to do. Verse 27. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But he was afraid of his family and the townspeople. He did it at night rather than in the daytime. The good thing is he did it immediately. He tore down the father's idol, he built an altar to the true God, the idol, the pole. Everything was all built up, burned up in a sacrifice to God. But he was fearful, even though he did it immediately. Gideon lived out Jesus' words. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it or obey it. He made a kingdom difference by doing what God said without a delay, even in the face of risk and fear. Courage is the ability to act and do what is right despite feeling fearful. You might want to write that down. Here it is. Courage is the ability to act and do what is right despite feeling fearful. If there's no risk, if there's no threat, why would there need to be courage? But it would be easy to let fear rob us, and sometimes it does, of kingdom opportunities. What about, do I say something about Jesus right now when the opportunity arises, or do I wait? Do I stand up for the truth if there is falsehood? Do I humbly admit when I'm wrong and apologize? Do I show compassion and love when Jesus asks me to help someone in word or deed? Those are opportunities to do what is right with God's help. Additionally, God had spoken and directed the action, and there's potential significant consequences we'll see here in just a moment. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. If he calls you, he will equip you. He'll help you work through the process. Verse 28 gives the result of Gideon's actions. The next day, the people of the town came to his father's house and wanted to kill Gideon for tearing down the idol. So the threat was real. But his father has a wise answer. He said, if Baal is a god, let him fight for himself. And saves his son from the mob. And so even though his father had this mixed heart, he had some wisdom. We're going to go on to the next principle here in verse 33 to 35. Read it with me out loud. Here we go. Make a kingdom difference by being Holy Spirit directed and empowered. This is sort of the crux, I believe, of this whole success of this story. Let's pick it up at verse 33. Now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet and summoned the Asberites, that was his clan, to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so they too went up to meet them. Gideon calls Israel to action. He calls them to arms. Why? Because he's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Nothing happens in God's kingdom to make a difference without the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and is in us as followers of Jesus. He is our counselor. He is our helper. He is our advocate. He is our empowerer and enabler. Acts 1:8, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. And you will be my witnesses. You'll have power. We won't be weak and vacillating as we live. Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in us and we come into salvation. But there's this process of understanding more and more what that looks in our lives. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you as a Jesus follower. That's an amazing statement. And we need to make it part of our daily prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, guide and direct and empower me today for your kingdom purposes. We need to seek and receive and live in the full measure of the Holy Spirit, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We don't have time today to go more into that, but if you want a sermon on that, I preached on that on March 2nd, 2025, and it's on our web, so or you could email me. But this key statement, the call to arms empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's the same for us. And ourselves, we'll fail. But empowered by the Holy Spirit, we will walk forward with what God wants us to do and become who he wants us to be. Verse 36 goes on to a well-known part of the story regarding Gideon's fleece and our next principle. Here we go again. Read it with me. Make a kingdom difference by seeking confirmation, when needed, of what God has said or asked you to do. Okay. Verse 36. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you have said. And that is what happened. Gideon rose up early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, don't be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow one more test with the fleece. But this time make the fleece dry or let the ground be covered with dew. And that day, night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry and all the ground was covered with dew. Here's an important thing to understand. The fleece was not to determine what God had said. It wasn't determined what the action was be. He knew what God was saying, but he wanted the confirmation that he had heard God correctly, and he needed his faith increased. He needed to be encouraged. And God was faithful. God was faithful in this situation with this critical thing, even though he asked multiple times, God, don't be mad at me. I'm asking. The Bible says, ask. God will not slap you on the side of the head. That's a Dan paraphrase. For asking for wisdom, for asking for understanding. And there could be other people that can help you in this process. But it's really important. Learning to recognize God's voice, understand what we're saying, what we just talked about. And so the principles of application here are similar to what we just spoke about. So I'm not going to enlarge on them, the other thoughts we just talked about. But God wants to know, he wants us to understand, he wants us to make the commitment. And if it isn't clear, ask. And God will help it make it clear. The account of Gideon continues in chapter 7. And here's another similar principle. I don't know if you notice, they sound sort of kind of similar, but they're a little bit different. And they all go together. It's not step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They're happening in our lives in different times, in different seasons. God's working on these different principles in us. Here's the next principle. Read it with me. Make a kingdom principle by trusting what God calls you to do. He will encourage and strengthen you to be able to do it. Let's try that one more time. Make a kingdom difference by trusting what God calls you to do. He will encourage and strengthen you to be able to do it. For time's sake, I'm not going to read all first 15 verses of chapter 7. Maybe a couple only key verses here. So when he calls the army by the Holy Spirit, 32,000 men answered the call. That's still a lot less, a small fraction of the whole army that was coming against them. But God tells Gideon, you have too many people. You have too many army. Again, me being an engineer, linear sequential thinker, say, what do you mean, God? This is only a small fraction of the people that are coming against us. But God says, no, if they win the victory, they'll think they did it. God needs to get the glory here. So God tells Gideon, tell the army, if anyone's afraid, go home. 22,000 men went home. Two-thirds of the army just gone, leaving 10,000. I wonder how Gideon was feeling. I've probably been asking God, really, God? But here's the next thing. God tells, there's still many people. There's still too many men. Take them down to the brook to drink from the stream, and I will select my men. There God selects 300, just 300 men that drank from cupped hands, going down and picking up the water and lapping like a dog. The other men knelt down to drink from the stream. And there's probably some spiritual significance that they were more looking for the enemy. They were alert. They were ready to go versus take a break. We don't really know about all that, but this is how God selected the 300 men. Verse 7, the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that have left, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. So they gave all the stuff to these 300 guys. But now God says, I will give you the victory that is promised with only 300 men. But Gideon is human. He thinks about it, and there's some fear, and there's some doubt that creeps in, and God understands that. So God tells Gideon to take a servant and go into the enemy's camp and listen to what they're saying, and you'll be encouraged. I'm not sure I could have done that. Sneak into the enemy's camp and listen to what they are saying. That took a lot of courage, but God had been speaking to Gideon and walking him along this process, and he had enough confidence that what God said here, if I do what he says, I'll be encouraged. Verse 13, Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midian camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. Well, normally a loaf of bread doesn't blow out a tent. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp in his hands. I love this. So when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and he worshiped. That seals the deal. God, there's no way you can make this up. That I go into the Indian camp and then God gives this guy a dream. And God says, there's your answer. I'm with you. What encourages you when you're up against it, when you're in this decision point, when you're having some doubts? God says, if you trust me, what I've called you to do, I will encourage you and strengthen to do it. Who God calls, God strengthens and encourages and equips. Whom God calls, God strengthens, encourages, and equips. We need to ask Jesus to build up our faith. Sometimes I feel like the man in the New Testament that had a child that was sick. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And God's faithful with that. He'll help us to believe. Help us to step out. Maybe somebody's alongside of you. Maybe a testimony of other person's victories. Maybe a counselor. Maybe other prayers. Whatever it is, you need to understand what helped you move forward and take a step in this plan God has for you. You need to know you're not alone. We have each other here. We have other people that will help us and pray and encourage us. And the worship team, you can come up and join me, please, as we wrap up this morning. That leads to our final principle. Let's read this final principle together. Make a kingdom difference by doing it God's way, which leads to God's planned result. Continuing with verse 15, there's a few verses here in summary. So Gideon returned to the camp of Israel. Get up. The Lord has given us the Midianite camp into your hands. This is the middle of the night. Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. Watch me, he told them. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow your trumpets and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after the changing of the guard. This is important because at the changing of the guard, there'd be a lot of men going back and forth in the dark. They blew the trumpets and they broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew their trumpets and they smashed the jars, grabbing the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Well, each man held his position around the camp. All the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. With the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord, not Gideon, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The rest of chapter 70 is how Gideon called the army back to follow him and complete the victory, which the rest of the army was willing to do after they saw the enemy on the run. But here, God wants us to be on that forefront, trusting God, saying, God, I believe you have a plan. I believe God inspired this battle plan. I believe that God had a plan all along and knew what was going to happen. I know that. But he didn't reveal it right away. It's God's way of leading us to a planned result that he wants in our lives. I found this to be an effective standard prayer. I've tried to use this in my engineering career and in pastoring. God, I need your wisdom and strength for today to do it your way, because I'm not enough. God, I need your wisdom. I need your strength for today to do it your way, because I'm not enough. Here's your final encouragement this morning. Gideon was transformed by the Holy Spirit to be a kingdom difference maker because he listened to God and obeyed him. And you can be also. Think about it. Gideon went from weakness to strength. He went from fear to courage. He went from doubt to faith. He went from discouraged to encouraged. He went from inaction to action. He went from victim to victory. God has the same plans for us. He doesn't want to sort of just crawl into the rocks and try to hide and to try to survive. No, he wants us to thrive. He wants the power of the Holy Spirit to move forward in his plan for us. I would like you to just pull out your bulletin, which has the 8 points on it. Just think about, where are you in the process? What is God speaking to you about this morning? What's the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart about? What principle speaks to you? What needs to be some focus, some attention, some prayer? And maybe God is asking you to do something specific. Can you say yes? Can you say yes to whatever he says? Can you say yes to whenever he says to act? Can you say yes to wherever that leads? Those are, when we don't know, those are hard questions to say yes to. But we can see from the story of Gideon, as we say yes, as we move forward, step by step, he'll lead us and he will guide us. I believe that with all my heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Gideon was just a man. And he said yes. But Lord, you encouraged him, you strengthened him, you helped him every step along the way. I pray that over this congregation this morning. For those online. Lord, that we'd hear your voice. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak. You're always speaking, but help us to listen. Help us to understand. Help us say, yes, Lord, to whatever you're saying to us. Guide us, direct us, help us. I know you will, Lord, as we trust in you. Thank you for the time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to worship for a moment, and I'll come up and close.